Oh, Mike, I guess we got time about Star Wars for 45 minutes.
Yes, 45 minutes. We're going that long?
I don't know. What, you think we can't talk about Star Wars for 45
I
minutes?
hate Star Wars. I don't want to talk about it. Steve, what do you think this is? 2008 Exploding Barrel Podcast? Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 18th, 2015.
How can you not know today's date?
Well, it's confusing because it's like we see the movie yesterday. It's like, it's weird. It's like December 18th, the Star Wars, but like you see it on the 17th. It's not like before we're like, yeah, but like once you're in the theater, it starts, it's midnight.
Yeah, at 12:01, the movie starts.
I asked someone else, like, why don't they just say it comes out on the 17th? Because like, then they would have to have a midnight show on the 16th, and then that would sell out too much. And they'd have, look, it's like they have to just pick a date at some point. So this is our very spoilery filled...
Well, no, we'll start non-spoilers.
What can I say non-spoilers? I like it a lot.
We'll say like 10 minutes of stuff.
Like what? What else can I say? It's really good. I need to tell you specifically why. I don't know if I can tell you that without spoiling it.
We'll try. Just humor the idea. We'll see how far it takes. It won't be much. So, ideally, go see the movie and listen to this podcast. Right. If you're on the fence, listen to the first few minutes, then go see the movie. And if you've seen it, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
say anything spoilery without, like, saying, but so, yeah. I'm just, like, thinking of specific things again. Just make it a whole spoiler episode. Come on. You try. What do you want to say?
I can try. Here's what I will say. We can talk about the experience of going to the movie.
Well, it's different for one thing, right?
Well, it's
different than it used to be.
I think there's a mental thing when you go in. You know, like, this wasn't part of, like, the plan from the beginning. We know George Lucas had an idea. This is not it. Apparently, according to Jim Hill, noted Disney historian, I don't know where his source is for this, but apparently Lucas's treatment for Seven was going to be, like, about a 10-year-old kid who was the son of somebody.
It's right, like, almost no like more kids. God, that's the last thing we need.
But yeah, like it is. It was just kind of cool to like go into it like with this like whole mindset of like, okay, this is like literally and figuratively a new chapter in Star Wars.
Right.
You know?
And it was kind of cool. Yeah, I think even more so with the prequels because my mindset back then was like to try to find out as much as I could, and because it was kind of like it was like a different time. It was hard to almost find out too much, especially like episode.
There was internet, but there wasn't social media.
Right. That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for our movie-going experience, yeah, it was, you know, me, you, our brother Chris, my wife, our sister-in-law Krista, a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
We had a nice group. Theater was packed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool because, you know, and this was the case in the prequels, too. But, like, the crowd was into it. They applauded for stuff.
Right.
But it was never distracting from the movie.
They had emotional responses, but they weren't just, like, saying things. They weren't heckling.
Yeah, except the one girl, like, as the screen went dark, who went, "This better not suck!"
Oh, she's a little girl.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, maybe. She might have been 28 for all we know. Just had a high
She sounded course. Very young. The best one ever was when we saw Batman Begins on opening night. Pack theater again. Oh, Batman Begins. Like that's starting. Like the movie's about starting. Maybe been like even like credits or like logos. This guy goes, "Watch out for the Joker." This guy by me, he goes, "Watch out for my foot up your ass." Did you hear anything else from that guy?
Yeah, right.
That's crazy. That's such a weak like heckle. Watch out for the Joker.
But we know he's not in this movie.
Yeah, it wasn't in it, by the way.
But anyway, Star Wars. Mm. Like, I guess what I will ask you is, to you, does this seamlessly fit with what we already have? Or do you think, and it might be hard to answer this question like less than 12 hours after seeing it, well, more than 12.
I mean,
but like, does it feel noticeably different?
It feels, yeah, in a way. I mean, it feels like its own kind of, it feels like its own thing, which it should. I mean, 30 years later, this is a new, you know, whatever. I mean, the prequels felt like their own thing, too, and I don't necessarily, and, you know, I mean, yeah, they're bad, but I mean, like, I don't, that's not necessarily a criticism or not, but that they should, you know? And I mean, it definitely is familiar, and it has similarities, a lot of it, and, like, the thing I like is that it goes back to the idea of, like, Star Wars universe being kind of this gritty, really lived-in, not-so-pretty
place.
Yeah,
well, it didn't have that pristine CG look of the prequels, and in return to, and, you know, we could say this. of what little CG it felt like was in the movie. I'm sure there was a ton of it, but not a lot of it was very noticeable.
Right. And
there's like, one thing we'll talk about in spoilers. Thing,
yeah, and yeah, we'll get
But like, and obviously, like, you know, the X-Wing shooting TIE fighters are CG, but like, even there's like characters who like, you know, they're CG, but like, I also could tell, like, there's one guy in particular, and I won't say who he is, but I'm pretty sure it was like a costume, but just the face was CG.
Mm-hmm.
Totally works.
Yeah.
You know, totally works.
Right.
And the fact that BB-8 is completely practical.
Well, so yeah, BB-8 really
helps with that a lot. BB-8
looks great, yeah. Just, yeah, there's a lot. And there are times too where it's just like someone in a costume, and that's good.
Yeah.
Can we go spoiler now?
Yes, okay, so.
Spoiler now.
Spoilers, well, I'm going to have some music play to create a nice dividing point when we come back. On the other side, we will spoil the shit out of this movie. I will say it again. If you haven't seen it yet, stop listening now. We'll see you next week, and we'll talk about video games or something. And go subscribe and like, blah, blah, blah. Bye. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Spoilers start now, for the love of God.
Right.
Turn back if you have not seen
this movie. Tell you what is interesting is I almost wondered, are there really going to be that many big things that could be spoiled? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, yeah, you really... This is a movie you really should see, like, as soon as you can, because it's gonna... Yeah.
Well, let's just go right
to it. Let's just go right, yeah.
First big spoiler of the movie. Kylo Ren is the son
of
Han Solo and Leia Organa.
See, which is interesting. I had always assumed that he would be, like, Luke's failed apprentice.
Right.
Which is also true. But I did not really think he was going to be, Leia and Han's son. Like, what's the dark side? Which is interesting, again, I don't really like the expanded universe, but it's interesting because that happens in the expanded universe.
Yeah.
One of their sons.
Yeah.
But
they had the twins in the EU.
Yeah, Jason Solo. But this is Ben Solo.
Which is awesome.
Right. Which, again, in the expanded universe, there's a Ben Skywalker, like Luke's son. That's funny. But yeah, so Ben is Ben Solo, Ben Kylo Ren. Stuff. And yeah, we get this idea. And again, I like that there's a lot of things that aren't overly explained. Like, we don't really quite understand how the First Order came to be. Maybe some of those books explain.
Yeah, and like the whole Knights of Ren, which I assume is just like the group of students who rebelled against Luke Skywalker.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so it seems like kind of like we all thought, like Luke went to go try to start up like a legit new Jedi Academy. Something went very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ren rebelled, and like, basically, and like, either all joined him, or he killed the rest of them.
Yeah, and then Luke, like, in shame, just goes into exile.
I think just like practical too. Like, this is bad when this happens. So, yeah, Luke goes out, and that is cool because like that's like kind of the plot of the movie.
Yeah, everyone's trying to find Luke Skywalker, which is the best MacGuffin.
Right, right, exactly. So yeah, that and I like too the reveal of Kylo Ren's parents. Like, they tease it in the beginning, like, they make it a big deal, like, yeah, he has some sort of important last name. And then, like, pretty soon after, they just drop it. Like, they don't, like, hold off on it to, like, the end. If they don't try to make it, like, a I am your father moment.
Right.
Like, they kind of get out, and it's a big reveal, and it's cool, and, you know, then it's done.
Yeah, I mean, they almost could have just as easily never said anything until Han sees him and shouts out, Ben.
Yeah.
And then, have that be the moment.
But that moment didn't need that.
No, because that moment has the next huge moment.
Right.
When Kylo Ren kills Han Solo.
I think, again, it's another thing that's not too surprising. For one thing, we always kind of know Harrison Ford sometimes is, like, a little annoyed with, like...
Star Wars.
Yeah, but I think he's better than now, but... And, I mean, we know he wanted them to kill him off in Jedi, even. He literally wanted... He was maybe not going to come back for that one. So I always kind of knew, like, I don't think they're going to get him to come back for, like, three movies.
Yeah.
Especially when the trailer was coming out, it looked like he was in this one a lot. I'm like, this whole movie is going to be, like, a send-off for Han Solo.
Oh, it didn't stop me from crying like a baby
but
he died.
They did it handled very well.
Real
Again,
well.
I need more time, but almost, like, Spock, Wrath of Khan level as well.
Yeah.
It's a very good way to do it.
Well, yeah, and, like, what's so cool about it from just a character point of view is you find out, like, after his, Ren's turn to the dark side, like, Han and Leia, like, ruins their relationship. He goes back to smuggling.
Right.
She goes back to leading rebellions, because that's both what they do best. And it's like he's hiding from having to be a father, and it's in this moment where he confronts, I need to be this kid's father,
yeah,
that he lets his guard down, and that's what kind of is his demise in a weird way.
Right. But. Yeah, it's so important to, like, to kind of build up that character of Ren again, like, to see, like, a temptation of kind of a different way.
Yeah, like, the way he refers to being tempted by the light side.
Right.
And he's, like, such an interesting reversal.
Right, and again, we don't really know what exactly went wrong with that family, why they couldn't get along. It sounds like they do kind of represent, there were already problems, and then they sent, like, him to go off and train with Luke, because they thought that would help.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he was already in trouble. Yeah, exactly. It sounds like he was already kind of, like, a problem kid of some kind. But yeah, the whole scene was really good, and I love, too, like, Chewie's berserker moment after it.
Oh yeah, which once I was like, oh my god, Han Solo's dead. Oh my god, Chewie's gonna be pissed.
Yeah, right. I just it'd be funny if Chewie's just kind of like, ah, oh, life's dead over. Finally, yeah, well, peace out.
I think I would never.
But no, that was
honestly.
Chewie
was one of my favorite characters.
This is
in the movie.
Best Chewie has been in any of the movies.
Absolutely.
Both, yeah.
And I'm super excited now for episode 8 because it's going to be Chewie without Han Solo.
Right.
Which is going to be weird.
Well, it seems like they kind of partnered him off with Rey.
Well, yeah, because it ends with Rey and Chewie and R2
right.
meeting up with Luke. But yeah, that's just such, like, it's, for Chewbacca's character, it's such an interesting twist for him.
I guess,
not counting episode 3, we've never seen him without Han, you know?
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting question that I kind of thought, because I was just talking to some people, like, you know, now Kylo Ren's the guy who killed Han Solo, his father. We hate him. Do you want to see him redeemed?
Well, that's good. Our buddy Jonathan. He was super like, I just want revenge. I want him to be done, destroyed. And you're like, but that's the dark side. You're not supposed to want revenge. But yeah, it's like he had his chance at being redeemed and didn't take it. So, like, does that mean is he beyond redemption? Like, is there anything they can do to bring him back? Or is he a lost cause at this point? Like, what happened? Like, is he going to see Leia in the future? Is he going to see Luke in the future?
It is kind of, because, like, yeah, it's cool. I'm glad that I'm conflicted about it.
Right.
Because, like, ultimately, I think that's the point of Star Wars, is you find the good in like, kind of, like, your enemy.
Yeah, and the thing was, like, you know, like what Kylo says, like, there's something I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Will you help me? And Han's like, yeah, I'll do whatever you need. But, like, that was the dark side of him talking. And he knew he had to kill his father. But there was that part of him that didn't know if he could do it, and he did it.
I think there is going to be some, like, there has to be, like, some time in episode 8 to, like, add a little bit more sympathy to Ren again, a bit. Because, well, again, like, I think we're going to find out things about his childhood.
And here's what I think happens, is, like, because he, like, idolizes Darth Vader. Who,
right.
First of all, does he realize that's his grandfather?
Yes, he does.
Does he?
He called him grandfather in this
Okay,
scene.
Okay, I didn't catch that then. But, yeah. Like, does he realize that he turned to the light in the end?
That's the best thing.
Maybe he doesn't know that, and maybe that's, like, gonna really fuck with his head in the future.
Maybe he knows it, maybe he doesn't believe it.
Because then, like,
or
everything he believes comes crashing down around him.
Right, yeah, exactly. Again, there are, like, these kind of cool, interesting questions. So let's talk about some of the other characters. So, yeah, Kylo Ren, and I love to, one more thing, I love, like, that he almost has, like, his childish fits and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Which Vader almost kind of had sometimes, but they were, like, maybe a bit
more. Oh, when he, like, starts hacking up terminal. It's because it's so raw.
Right.
It was so much of what was missing from the prequels. Mm-hmm. You know? It's awesome.
So, like, the first character we're really introduced to, which kind of surprised me, was Poe Dameron.
Can I just say that a year ago, I predicted that Poe Dameron was going to be the damnest coolest character in this movie, and I was, without a doubt, 100% right. That Poe Dameron is the frickin' man, because everyone likes X-Wings, and if they don't, they're wrong and stupid.
Poe, he is cool. He's just like, he's kind of like the likable, like, ace pilot. Like,
I mean, he's kind of the, like, almost the Han Solo character, like,
right,
the roguish guy.
But he's cocky, but he's much more, like, initially noble than...
Right, I mean, he is hardcore for the Resistance, mm-hmm. which it's just...
Oh, he's almost kind of like a... like the Rocketeer a little bit to me.
A little bit,
if you're gonna make a new Rocketeer, I want that guy to be the Rocketeer.
Right? Yeah, let's get Oscar Isaacs in
that. But yeah, he was a really. I read an interesting tweet. I think it was Cat Bailey retweeted or something. It was like the prequels would have been a lot better if Anakin Skywalker was a lot more like Poe Dameron.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. That,
like,
that was the character,
right? But
and then I mean, the whole scene, so, like we kind of see Finn before, but really, we get to know who he is when he meets Poe Dameron. That whole scene in the TIE fighter between the two of them, the whole time, that whole sequence, you're just like, yes, this is great.
Oh, that whole escape was great.
This is amazing. And, like, I love it.
They're kind of like buddying out. They establish a better relationship in those two moments than Obi-Wan and Anakin did in all the prequels.
And you know what? A lot of, like, Finn, Poe, Rey to a lesser extent, but they do that thing that made characters like Indiana Jones and even John McClane fun. When they do cool, unexpected shit, they're like, holy crap, that worked.
Yeah,
like,
they're actually excited about things.
Because, and this even, like, even when you look at the lightsaber fights, this movie, it's not this overly scripted, finesse thing that, like, at no time feels tense or dangerous. Like, everything just feels like they're really trying really hard.
And, like, I enjoy the lightsaber fights and prequels to, like, almost, like, in a way, like, you enjoy, like, a kung fu movie where it's like about this choreography.
It's a ballet.
It's almost like a ballet. And it's fine, but as a storytelling device, it's almost just, like, it's much secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, you know, like, the original trilogy, sometimes the choreography isn't, like, that great in those fights. But there's, like, a lot of other things happening that's exciting. But, like, this was probably the best lightsaber fight, the one in the end there. Because, it is, like, there's a lot of emotion. It looks like two people actually fighting for their lives. So, and it's not, like, about, you know, twists and flips and stuff, per se. And again, it's cool, and it's cool too, because you almost want to be like, how are these people even pointing up against Rey? But, like, Rey is, like, badly hurt from...
Ren,
sorry. But, yeah, Ren. But, like, because Ren is badly hurt from the Chewbacca shot. And,
yeah, which is awesome.
Right, which is very cool.
So, Rey, I think Rey is going to be one of the most important characters in a movie of the last 50 years.
Well, it is kind of neat. Because, like, yeah, she's the female character, but, like, by no means, like, the token female character. She's the least token-y female character in one of these movies.
She is completely independent. Mm. She's...
And a little surprising.
She's, like, she's the one with the Force.
Yeah, a little surprising, because I thought, ultimately, Finn would be the main character. Rey's the main character.
So good on the marketing for kind of tricking us a little bit.
Right.
But, I mean, even just to say, like, as a father of two little girls...
Yeah, you're very excited about that.
I love that Rey exists as a character.
You're probably very excited about
that. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. On the other end of the spectrum, Captain Phasma was a little bit like this movie's Boba Fett.
Yeah.
She didn't really do anything.
I was a little surprised. Like, it doesn't really bother me, ultimately, I guess.
Like, maybe she'll be back for more.
For as much as...
She walked around, yelled at people, and then the second someone put a gun to her head, she was like, oh, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get you, but I'll do whatever you want now.
She dropped them shields real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Phasma did not do much.
So the one character in this movie I have a problem with. Yeah, this is like my only complaint. Supreme Leader Snoke didn't work for me at all.
No.
He's this... So, like, okay, yeah, it was a hologram, but, like, why is he, like, this giant?
This is kind of weird.
He's super CG looking in a movie where nothing looked like CG.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he was, like, the one, like, he looked like... Yeah, he looked like a...
He just looked like super CG.
Did. And the way...
And it's, like... So, how, like... So you have the Emperor in the original trilogy, and you're like, where'd he come from? I don't know. Like, but, like, you don't know because we've never seen that information. Right. I feel like at some point in one of these movies, someone would have known of a guy with enough power to create the First Order who's also strong in the dark side.
Right,
like, that doesn't just come out of nowhere.
Right, that's like my typically I was like, yeah, I said I like that we don't know the answers, but the Snoke thing, I almost feel like there needs to be, like, where the hell this guy come from?
Yeah, like, who is he?
Who's Snoke? Why does he look like Thanos? Almost or something.
Yeah, it's just...
And again, and it was weird.
He looks like one of the aliens from the end of Indiana Jones 4.
Right, yeah, okay. He's like the one thing I was like, that just really like was like, eh.
Well, and he doesn't do anything the whole movie.
Well, he
like,
doesn't need to be a movie.
No, because every scene...
Like the Emperor in A New Hope.
Right, because every scene with him was just them either saying this happened, he goes, good or bad, or they say, we should do this, and he says, yeah, do that. He never influenced anything.
Right.
I think he would have been much better off to be just mentioned, not seen or heard.
Or, like, maybe even heard off camera.
And then he shows up in episode 8 and is a big deal.
Right. Or even episode 9. Yeah. It was weird that was Andy Serkis, because I was, like, really excited, like, oh, Andy Serkis
is
in this.
Yeah, like, what's he going to do?
And it's like, oh, we're going to have
him sits in a chair and
capture,
talks.
Like, well, do you even need motion capture for that? He's just gonna, weird.
Yeah, it was weird. That was the only thing.
It's, like, one of the things I hope maybe in 8 we can improve on.
Yeah, and maybe, like, in the context of the trilogy it'll make sense.
And even the voice right now, I can't hear it. To me, it was just, like, a very generic, like... bad guy kind of
It
was like the Emperor like kind of like was like an interesting thing then. I don't know. Yeah, something was missing there. So that was, yeah, that's like the basically the only thing. I mean, there's a couple other times where like maybe CG, like I like the cast character, but again, it's like the CG mouth thing is sometimes hard to do. Like that can specifically look a little CGE.
What do you mean?
You know, her mouth specifically when she was like lip syncing, the lip syncing of the CG.
Oh, I see.
Castle, is that her name?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's a small thing. I like her character a lot.
Yeah, she was cool. Well, she was super cool.
I like that there are characters in this movie, like her and that guy in the door guy, who like are followers of the Force, but aren't like Jedi.
Right,
and which is nice. Like not every like it is almost weird that like in the prequels, like yeah, we all know the Force is a thing. There's all these Jedi, but like no one seems to really care about it except if you're a Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Like, you know, the way they reference that she's 1,000 years old, so, like, yeah, she remembers Jedi well, because to her, that was relatively not that long ago.
Right.
So, like, that totally makes sense.
All the planets were cool, too. I'm glad that we, you know, obviously Jakku is very similar to us, but I'm glad that we didn't revisit planets. It's funny, as much as, like, some people are complaining, like, oh, this is too much like Episode 4.
When we went back to Coruscant.
That was Coruscant, right?
I think so.
I like when the Starkiller was blowing things up. To me, that was like the symbolic just destruction of the prequel trilogy. Yeah.
Goodbye, Coruscant.
You know what? Fine.
Yeah.
I feel bad because there's like so many people there. So goodbye, Jester Dexter.
So much for that diner.
So much for your 50s cafe. maybe Jar Jar was there, said it was in section.
Yes.
So, Jesus. But yeah, that was, yeah. I mean, did that bother you at all? Because I just, like, maybe, and overall, seems like the reception is very positive, but, like, some people are saying that it was too much of, like, an Episode 4 kind of clone.
Everyone has one of two ways of looking at these movies. Either they focus on the broad strokes or the fine details. Because, like, if you look at the broad strokes of the prequels, the ideas there are good.
Yeah, right.
It's just poorly executed. Sure.
Well, any idea can be good. Execution, to me, is the only thing that matters.
Right. And in this movie, yes.
You can make a movie about a guy trying to get a sip of water if they're, like, super thirsty, and that could be the whole movie, and it could be good or bad. It just depends on the execution.
So, yes, are the broad strokes of this movie similar to New Hope? Yeah, okay, you got a droid with information, we gotta get him somewhere.
Yeah, we're getting off the desert. Oh, yeah, for sure. If you, like, you can do, like, your thing, and clever, like, look, it's the same movie.
Yeah, but the details of it are so different.
Right.
We have a turncoat stormtrooper.
Which is cool. I'm glad to finally see a stormtrooper humanized.
Yeah, and these are, like, these First Order stormtroopers, they were, like, abducted as children.
Or something like that, yeah.
And raised to be soldiers their whole lives. So it's interesting, it's kind of weird, really, when you think about that, he does, like, not go with it.
Yeah.
Since he's been basically, like, indoctrinated his whole life. But, like, you know, Rey is this character who's, like, a scavenger, no family. Like, comes to the Force completely on her own.
Like, if there was one thing that I think maybe we didn't necessarily need, and it doesn't really bother me, but I don't know if we necessarily needed, like, such a strong Death Star parallel with the Starkiller. Yeah. I feel like, ultimately, the final thing could have been, well, it's fine. That doesn't really, but again, I feel like it just would give them less ammunition to be like.
Right, to be like, they had to fly down, like, a trench.
Right, that's the only reason I say.
But meanwhile,
but it's cool too that it was it wasn't like a base they built, it was like a planet they like converted. Harvested
a planet. Right. And frankly, when I saw that trench and a bunch of X-Men, I was like, oh, they're gonna go in the trench!
Yeah,
like,
exciting.
That's awesome. I like too how the movie has callbacks to the previous films, but they're subtle. Like, the scene with when Kylo Ren comes in to interrogate Poe Dameron, you see the interrogation droid in the corner. Yeah. They're not, like, calling attention to it. Like, Admiral Ackbar's there, but like,
you know, like, hey, Admiral Ackbar, what do you think?
It's a trap! Oh, you said it! Like, yeah, they didn't do anything like that.
I mean, there were some times where it was a bit more like, you know, they bumped that the chess table and the Hoggins come up, which, by the way, it was cool that those are still looked like Harryhausen style things. And, I mean, showed up like that test droid. You know what? I'm a fan. You can service me a little bit.
Right.
There's a line, but I'm good with some of it.
There was no, oh, Darth Vader made C-3PO. Like,
yeah, no.
You know, it never got goofy like that. Yeah.
It didn't get Muppet Babies. And that's like even now there's some people who are like, oh, is like Rey actually Luke's daughter and is Finn just Lando's son? I'm like, okay, look, one was okay, but I don't want it to get two Muppet Babies.
Right.
Like, all these people's kids just happen to know each other and stuff like that. Yeah, so One of my favorite things too was, and I caught on to it like right before it happened, was they're like running away from in Jakku, they're getting attacked, they're heading towards like a ship, we're gonna take that ship, and then goes like, what about that one? Like, you don't even see it. So like, that's a piece of garbage. I'm like, oh wait, I know a second. And then you see the other one pull, I'm like, oh, I know. I was like, okay, we'll take that one. And then like that pan, oh my god.
So good.
That's just so
good.
Yeah. Again, another funny thing too, like I read somebody who literally like complained that it's just a remake of episode 4, and then complained that the scene with like those monsters on the freighter was too much like an Abrams moment. It didn't fit in. I'm like, well, what do you want?
Yeah, right. What's supposed
what do you want?
What's it supposed to be?
Right, exactly. No, yeah. Again, it's like people can. It's like one of those complaints that people can make that are like factually right, but I just don't see how it actually
matters.
Right,
doesn't matter.
It's like saying like, well, this. It you know, it's like saying, well, this movie's dumb because it has lightsaber fights. I'm like, well, it does.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I guess you don't like lightsaber fights.
So what do you think of the, and then, I knew kind of going in that Luke wasn't going to be in this movie much, obviously.
Honestly, I am surprised that the movie didn't end with the Falcon lifted off from the Resistance base.
I'm glad that you still
we got that extra
moment.
5 minutes.
Yeah,
which I was glad to get because it was cool to see him like turn face.
No
the
lines
camera.
Even, but yeah,
no, they didn't even say anything. Right. But just, I mean, it's great because in part because of our own expectations and experiences with Luke Skywalker, in part because of the way they built him up that everyone's looking for him. Just to see him turn and face the camera and be like, holy shit, it's Luke Skywalker.
I know, it's so cool.
Like the wizened old Jedi Knight. Right. Like, that moment had such weight to it.
And, like, the cool thing, too, is, like, immediately it was like, I need to see Episode 8.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool how Episode 7, it was kind of like the Han Solo movie with, like, all the new characters. It was more so about the new characters, but, like, other returning ones, like, the Han Solo is getting a lot of the limelight here. And, like, you kind of get the feeling Episode 8's, like, the Luke Skywalker movie.
Right. Also, if I'm not mistaken, Episode 8 comes out in May of 2017.
Yeah, you're right. So it's
a
year and a half.
A year and a half.
It's not really
God.
That long.
It's not.
And
it's
we'll have Rogue One between to kind of tie.
I know.
Yeah, I tell you what. I'm very glad it's not going to be 3 years again.
Oh, God.
That'd be awful.
Oh, God. Just no. No. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Exactly. So, whoofy. This, yeah, it's funny. Well, I mean, the soundtrack's out today, and kind of got to listen to that more.
Yeah, I've been
cool.
Going through it.
And it's funny because like some people are like, I feel like I don't really like the soundtrack did it. You know, I don't remember much from it. First off, you see a movie one time, that's not gonna happen.
Right.
And second off, there's not the Duel of the Fates or Battle of the Heroes, like kind of overly bombastic theme, which are really cool, but they're like. They almost, like, overshadow the things.
Yeah,
partly because the prequels are bad and any good music's going to overshadow
right.
them.
Like the lightsaber fights at the end of this movie didn't need a Duel of the Fates.
No.
In fact, it would have felt out of place, I think.
No. The Force theme kind of just makes sense there. And, again, the best music in this is almost kind of quieter stuff, like Rey's theme. Mm-hmm. Rey's theme is great.
Yeah.
And, again, I think the stuff will ultimately be just as iconic.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, yeah. And, I mean, a lot of it is definitely, you know, here's, you know, the Force theme again, and here's, you know, Leia's theme, because, you know, Leia's there and stuff like that. But yeah, it's great. Oh my god. So what else do you want to say about the Star Wars thing?
It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
I mean,
it's back in full force, no pun intended. Yeah. It's just so fun. Like, we've always said this before in this show and in life. We like liking Star Wars. And there's a lot to like right now. I just got the Force Awakens playset and figures for Infinity. I'm going to play that later today. And we were going to see the movie again today at 5:40. It's just like, it's all just so exciting to be in this zeitgeist again. That, frankly, when the credits ended on Revenge of the Sith, I was like, well, that's the end of Star Wars.
Yeah, right.
Like, no more.
Yeah, right. You just kind of assumed it wasn't going to be
a thing. Yeah, I mean, it's like what I was hoping to feel with The Hobbit.
Yeah.
But didn't get from The Hobbit.
Yeah. Well, I like the first Hobbit still.
Mm-hmm.
But that was still good, yeah. But this was kind of a different level. Plus, there's a much longer period of time. Well, yeah. Again, especially for us, this is the first time a good Star Wars movie has come out in our lifetimes, really.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Yes, so. That is true.
But yeah, I am very interested to kind of let some time pass, see it a couple more times, and really digest it and stuff. And like, I don't know. It's people ask, like, well, is it, like, better than, like, the original trilogy? That's, like, almost an impossible question.
You can't answer that right now.
That's, like, so hard. Well, even Steve, I don't know if you ever can. It's so hard with those kind of movies that are, like, so entwined with your childhood and beyond.
And just pop culture.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. Maybe 50 years from now, that'll be an easier question. But right now, that's difficult. So, yeah, all right. Well, you want to do a little special zoning?
Yeah, real quick.
I got to play Cloud a lot. He's super fun. He's not like just like an Argava sword. His moves are really interesting, especially his whole like limit break mechanic. Because it fills up kind of like automatically if you attack or if you land a hit or get hit, but you can also just like charge it.
Yeah.
So, and it powers up your next special move a lot. So he's a really fun character to play. And they announced a couple more, which is
another Fire Emblem character.
Yeah, I know. I'm better with it than most people because I like Fire Emblem, but even I'm like, geez, there's a lot of Fire Emblem characters. But yeah. It's like, you know, it's a completely new moveset. But the Bayonetta is really interesting. She looks really cool.
Yeah, that'll be different at least.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah, as a character to add. Yeah, and then there's also we didn't get Geno as a playable character, but he got a costume. And since he was like a low res polygon character when he first came out anyways.
It works.
It looks pretty much right.
So well, that's good.
That's pretty cool. That's a good bone to throw. And then hey, maybe the next Smash Brothers we can
use. Maybe. Right.
We're getting there now.
Yeah.
We're getting closer. Besides, I'm playing the Magic Puzzle Quest game.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's fun. I was worried it'd just be Puzzle Quest with like magic art. But it is a bit...
There is, like, a mechanic, like, playing your hand.
Right, you have cards and stuff. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. But I think that's it.
Let's wrap up and go watch Star Wars again.
Yeah, no. All right, well, thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and see over our old shows and leave us a review. I guess... I don't know if we're going to have it next week because, like, Christmas is falling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I lied to all those people in the non-spoilers.
So we might
take Christmas off and we'll see about New Year's.
Then we'll come back for Game of the Year.
Yeah, really.
So, Chris, have a good holiday. Go see Star Wars.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye. May the Force be with you.